So before I begin my homily, I wish to share some distressing news with you all. Don't worry, it's not about Father Donahue. He is in good health. He is fine. However, last week after one of the masses, one of our ushers discovered a host among one of the seats in the congregation. We're not entirely sure who dropped it, but this is very distressing. It shows to us that there is still a bit of a lack of due reverence to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. This is truly the greatest gift that all of us have received, God's presence among us. And so this is, it's very distressing for Father Donahue and I. And so in reparation for this sacrilege, I invite all of us to kneel, if possible, and take a few moments of silent prayer, asking to our Lord for forgiveness. Thank you. You may be seated. So to help us to make sure that this doesn't happen again here at St. Philip's, I would just like to go over a few housekeeping notes, especially regarding the reception of Holy Communion. Of course, here in the United States, we have the option to either receive our Lord on the tongue or in the hand. And so if we are receiving our Lord on the tongue, we want to make sure to extend our tongue enough so that the minister, the priest, deacon, or extraordinary minister can place the host directly on our tongue, and we want to make sure to consume our Lord right away. If our custom is to receive on the hand, it is always helpful to extend our hands one on top of the other. It actually is not helpful to place our hands side by side because the minister doesn't know which one to put it in, to put our Lord into, and there's also the risk of our Lord falling in between our hands. So it is best to place one hand above the other. Usually our dominant hand goes underneath so that when we receive our Lord, we may then take the host and place him directly on our tongue. Also, Father Donahue has asked that if we do receive our Lord on the hand, that when we receive him, we consume him directly in front of the priest or minister. So it is not good to take our Lord and walk away, but to consume right there in front of the priest. We do this because, of course, we want to protect our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. We are called, of course, to protect our Lord, but also to teach those around us, our family members, our children, our loved ones, cousins, whoever it may be, to teach them about our Lord, to teach them that this truly is Jesus among us. There is something special about our faith that marks us unique among any other Christians, and that is that we have Jesus in the Eucharist. We believe this as a doctrine of our faith, as the source and summit of our Christian faith. And so we want to make sure to have due respect and honor for our Lord. Here at this fourth Sunday of Advent, our attention is drawn ever more closely to the birth of Jesus. And we are drawn to follow Joseph and Mary. And here in our gospel today, we see, of course, Joseph. Our attention is specifically focused on him. And Joseph, we are told, is a just man. And yet he has this conundrum, this problem that he can't seem to solve himself. His wife, who he is betrothed to, is pregnant. And it's not because of him. He knows that. And he knows of Mary's holiness. He knows that Mary would not defile herself in any other way by any other man. But Joseph knows that there is something special going on, that God is intervening in some sort of way. And so that is why he chooses to separate himself initially. When we hear these words that Joseph wished to divorce our Blessed Mother, we can often think that was perhaps maybe mean or unjust. However, it's helpful to remember that in the Jewish tradition, a husband was betrothed to, or was in a very real way, married to his spouse, but they wouldn't live with one another for a whole year. And so Joseph was rightfully married to our Blessed Mother. But he realized that because this was something that God bestowed upon her, that God mysteriously intervened, and so he wished to separate himself, also to protect our Blessed Mother, because it could have been discovered that she was pregnant, and according to Jewish custom, she would have had to have been stoned. And yet Joseph, in the midst of his predicament, receives the grace of God to go forward boldly and to not be afraid. He is called to be the protector, not only of the Blessed Mother, but of God himself, God made man. Joseph is called to protect our Blessed Mother. And we see this, of course, we will hear of this as he protects the Holy Family by going to Egypt, protecting our Lord from the persecution of Herod. Joseph, of course, as well, is also regarded as the patron and protector of the universal church. He is also entitled as terror of demons because of his great faith, because of his great humility. The demons tremble at his presence. He is the protector of Holy Mother Church, and he is the protector of our homes. In our lives, we also are called to protect those around us. We protect many things in our lives, our homes, our cars, our children, and rightfully so, these are good things to protect. But there is something also very precious to us that we are also called to protect, and oftentimes we forget to, and that is our faith. Our faith that can be oftentimes very fragile. We are called to protect our faith, especially through the life of the sacraments, through the sacramental life that we experience here in church, by attending Mass each and every Sunday and every holy day, to frequently go to confession, to bring ourselves humbly before the Lord to receive his mercy, and to participate in the life of prayer. Our faith is something that we can easily forget to cultivate, but is so precious to us. Here in our last week of Advent, perhaps we can think to ourselves, what have I done this Advent? It has gone by very quickly, and I've barely had time to focus myself on the Lord. That's okay. There's still time. There's still a few more days before our Lord's coming at Christmas. We have a few more days to enter with our Lord and with our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph into that very intimate, precious moment in Bethlehem. There is still time to prepare our hearts to bring to the Christ child not just presents or gifts, but our very selves, even our imperfections and our sins. God welcomes us with open arms, And he asks us to humbly place everything at his feet in the manger. Because it is there, that is where we encounter true peace.